Amen. Blessings to you. And we're going to go ahead and dive right into the Word of God. I'm excited to have an opportunity for us to start this journey as we're going to be doing a walkthrough in the book of Habakkuk. Now, I wanted to say this. If you were to go and type in the name Habakkuk and you were to listen to the different ways that his name is pronounced, some people refer to him as Habakkuk. Some refer to him as Habakkuk. And then there's also some other ways that people pronounce the prophet's name. As for me, and throughout this sermon series, I'm going to be referring to the prophet's name as Habakkuk. So just wanted to give that explanation in case you say, hold on, I've never heard his name pronounced in that way before. The focus, you all, is not on his name. It's on the content and the message of the book. Y'all better walk with me right now. Somebody better say hallelujah this evening. And so we're going to be doing a walkthrough in the book of Habakkuk. I believe that Habakkuk, this book speaks to us personally and individually. And I also believe it speaks to what is going on right now in our present day culture, in this world, in this country, and across this world. And so we're going to do a walkthrough. Now, as I was preparing myself mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to present this message, for whatever reason, I could not get past verse 2. I just got stuck on verse 2, you all. I didn't try to get stuck. I just got stuck. And I know it was nothing that I perceive as being the Spirit of God as God began to deal with me about the heaviness of what the prophet Habakkuk was going through and what he was experiencing and how he chose to express himself. And so today I want to give some foundation. I want to kind of lay a foundation to briefly talk about who Habakkuk was, how do we date Habakkuk in terms of the historical context. And then from there, I want to just deal specifically with what I want to focus on today, which is in the form of a question. And that question is, how long? How long? And you're going to come to understand what how long means as we get into the book of Habakkuk. And throughout this walkthrough, you all, as we're walking through this book, I encourage you to just be open to what God is saying and how it intersects with your life and where you are and what you're going through during this present day. Amen. Amen. So kind of starting off with the book of Habakkuk, I will have us to understand that what we know about Habakkuk is really contained specifically in the book. What we know about this prophet is contained specifically in the book. And if truth be told, we really don't know a whole lot about Habakkuk. For example, there are prophets in the Bible, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, who we know a lot about because of the content of their work, how long their books are. We know their family heritage. We know the time frame in which their prophecy occurred and other different information about them because it was disclosed in their prophetic book. However, in Habakkuk's book, the only thing that we really know for certain as we look in this book is that he was a prophet. Which a prophet was a person who was handpicked and selected by God to be God's mouthpiece or spokesperson to directly deliver a message from God to the people. And a lot of times, if truth be told, whenever a prophet came to deliver a message to God's people or to God's or enemy people group or deliver a message for that matter, it normally was a message of judgment, a message that was telling the people, encouraging the people and urging the people, you better repent and get yourself together. God is not pleased with you. If you don't repent, God is going to bring judgment upon you. That's kind of the ebb and flow when you read throughout the prophetic books and you read whenever a prophet will give a prophetic word. And so when we talk about the book of Habakkuk, again, we know that he was a prophet of God. We really don't know a whole lot outside of that. There's some other things that I will share with you that biblical scholars, through looking at Habakkuk's book, believe some other things about him, but we really can't say for certain. But we do know that he was a prophet, a man called by God to speak this word to Judah, which Judah made up the southern kingdom. And again, as we go throughout this walkthrough, we'll get into some of these things. Habakkuk is considered to be a part of a work of the minor prophets. Now, in your Bible, the way our Bible is set up, and in the world of biblical scholarship, the way we refer to the prophets typically is you have what are called major prophets and minor prophets. And your major prophets are those prophets, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, and Daniel. And they're considered to be major prophets because of the length of their literary work. All right. The minor prophets, which you talking about Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Hosea, Jonah, you're talking about Haggai, Malachi, Zephaniah. Sorry if I repeated some of those, you all. But those are considered to be the minor prophets. Now, the reason they're called minor is not because what they have to say is less important than what the major prophets have to say. The only reason that they are described as being minor prophets is because what they had to say and the length of their book is much shorter than the major prophets' book. So Habakkuk is a part of what we call the minor prophets, but by no means is what he has to say considered to be minor in any way. Habakkuk's name actually comes from a Hebrew word, which means to embrace. And I think that that's significant because as you read these three chapters and we journey throughout the book of Habakkuk, what you see is at the beginning of this book, you see a man who is called by God, who loves God and who has affinity for God, who loves the people and want to see the people do right. He's wrestling and coming to grips with trying to embrace the fact that God is silent and God is not responding in the manner that the prophet Habakkuk will want to see God respond. But as we go throughout this book, you see that Habakkuk begins to mature in his theology and his understanding of God. So when we get to the end of this book, you see that Habakkuk lives out the fulfillment of his name, which means to embrace, because he finally embraces what God is telling him. And I think that that's very important and very key. Regarding the historical setting of Habakkuk, now typically in the prophetic books, when you read them, they contain what is called a historical superscription. And that superscription in that book, what it does is it helps the reader understand and it identifies who was the king during that particular time, whether this is a prophet who lived in the southern kingdom or the northern kingdom. It will identify who the prophet's family, who were their family. It'll identify the reign of the king of that particular time and the year that that king was reigning and set on the throne. Well, in the book of Habakkuk, we do not have a superinscription that helps us date the book, but we do have some evidence from the book to give us somewhat of a time frame in terms of the century where we are able to date the book, which helps us from a historical perspective. So whenever you're reading scripture, whenever you read a book of the Bible, you want to be able to employ a series of questions that you ask as you seek to engage the text. One of those questions that you always should ask is, who is the author of the book? That's one. Who's the author of the book? In this book, it's attributed to Habakkuk. The next thing that you want to be able to ask is, what is the historical setting of the book? Meaning, when was the book written? Because that's going to help us have an understanding of what was going on as we seek to reconstruct the historical context. So when we look at Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 6, and the purpose of me reading this is to reference the time period in which the book of Habakkuk was written, or in the time period in which Habakkuk received this prophetic word. I'm not going to go into great detail about what God is saying to Habakkuk in terms of what this means. We're going to do that at a later time, probably next week. But I want to read this verse so I can give some reference to the historical dating of Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 6 says this. It says, and this is God speaking. It says, for behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and nasty nation who marches through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. Pause. Now, the reason this is important for us dating the book of Habakkuk is because God gives reference, a direct reference to one of the most fierce and well-known empires in world history, which is the Babylonian Empire. This is a reference. When God says the Chaldeans, he's talking specifically about the Babylonian Empire. So what that tells us as we look at this prophecy is that tells us that Habakkuk received this word from God during what is called pre-exilic time period. Pre-exilic means that the nation of Israel, whether it be Judah or Israel, had not been taken into exile. Exile meaning that they had not been ripped up out of their land and taken back into a foreign land. Whenever the term post-exilic is used, that means that the nation, this occurred while they were in exile, meaning that they're no longer in their native land. They've been uprooted from their native land. When we read the book of Daniel with the prophet Daniel and stories of the three Hebrew boys, Daniel occurred during what? Post-exilic time, because the nation of Israel is no longer in their native land. They're now in a foreign land. They're in the land with the Babylonians, okay? So when we talk about this in reference to Habakkuk, we know that at this time when this word is given to Habakkuk and he's receiving this prophecy, the prophet is God is speaking to him about something that has not yet occurred, but that is going to soon happen. And when we look at history, when we look at that specific history, we are told and we know that the Babylonians rose to power around 626 BC. So we're talking about a time period of 626 BC through 587 BC. And we know, according to history, that the person who was the first Babylonian Empire king, and y'all forgive me if I mess up his name, but his name is Nabopolassar. I believe that Nabopolassar was the first Babylonian king, and he reigned for about 20 years as king. He died of natural causes in 605 BC, and his son, who we know as Nebuchadnezzar, the same Nebuchadnezzar that we read about in the Bible, then became the second Babylonian king. And so it's very interesting when you read history and you look to see the history that went on between the nation of Israel, between both kingdoms, the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, as it relates to their interaction with the Babylonian Empire. So again, that gives us some context when it comes to the dating of the book of Habakkuk, that this is a prophecy that is being spoken that has not yet happened, but it is on the horizon. So what I want to go ahead and do now, you all, is we're going to go ahead and get into the book. I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1-4, and we're just going to focus specifically today on verse 2, you all. Remember, I told you I got stuck on verse 2. Here's what the word of the Lord says. It says, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. And the word of the Lord says this. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. Y'all saw me. I was ready to go in, y'all. The oracle that the Habakkuk the prophet saw. Verse 2. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear? Or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. And that's what I want to simply deal with, you all. How long? The prophet said, how long? And as I read that word or that phrase, how long? Oh, Lord, how long? Oh, Lord, how long. I began to reflect, and the Spirit of God began to bring to my remembrance that this was not the first time that I had heard this phrase or something similar to this prophet's complaint. No, if you go and you read or you have read through the book of Psalms, what you will know is that there are seven different type of genres or styles of Psalms in the book of Psalms. You have some Psalms that are Thanksgiving Psalms, some Psalms that are hymn Psalms, but the category or the genre in the book of Psalms that is considered to be the most prevalent that we find are what we call Psalms of Lament. L-A-M-E-T, Psalms of Lament. And when we talk about a lament is typically can be characterized as a complaint on behalf of an individual as they are complaining to God about some type of discomfort or something that they are exasperated about, and they are expressing themselves emotionally. And when it comes to their emotional expression, there is characterized by emotions of unhappiness, them being sad, disappointment, anger, or worry. And we find this a lot throughout the book of Psalms. For example, if I can draw your attention to Psalm 13, verses 1 through 12. Let's read that and look at that, and you will see what I'm talking about when I talk about the similarities in what Habakkuk is crying out to God about and what we find other biblical characters doing as well. Psalm 13, verses 1 through 2 read, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" Look at how many times the individual, which if memory serves me correct, this is attributed to King David, is saying, how long? Let's look at Psalm 44, verses 24 through 46. It reads, "Why do you hide your face? Why do you forget our affliction and oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust. Our belly clings to the ground. Rise up, come to our help. Redeem us for the sake of your steadfast love." And again, you see in that particular psalm, in those two verses that I read, you hear the person giving and expressing themselves emotionally, giving their complaint to God as they're also asking questions to God. Let's look at Psalms chapter 10, verse 1 through 2. The writer says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand far away? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble?" And so again, what you see when you look at a lament is the person is crying out to God. They're asking questions to God. They're complaining to God because of some type of discomfort, some type of agitation that is going on in the person's spirit. And a lot of times when a person is crying out to God in a lament, it's because that person is having a difficult time coming to the reality or embracing the fact that God is not responding to them or their prayers or their petitions in the manner in which they would like to see God respond. You just miss what I just said. It done walk right past you. The key to what I just said is the frustration when it comes to us expressing ourselves through a lament is because God is not responding in the manner that we want him to respond. But what we have to understand is that when it comes to God, God is going to respond in the way that he wants to respond. We don't push the buttons and make God do what he is going to do, but God decides to do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. But God wants us to remain faithful in spite of the silence when we feel that heaven has closed its doors and the phone line has been disconnected and we can't get a prayer through. God says, "I still want you to be believing. I still want you to stand in faith. I I still want you to call upon me, because if you call upon me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33:3, that thou knowest not. But in that passage, God does not give a time frame. Come on, somebody, on when he's going to answer the prayer. He just simply said, if you call upon me, I will answer you. Habakkuk is crying out from a place of frustration. He's agitated. The text does not tell us how long he's been crying out to God about these issues of concerns that he has as he looks at his current cultural context and what is going on in the society that he lives in. But it's clear to me, based upon exegeting this passage and this book, that it's been some time. Because see, when you've gone through something for a long time, do you hear what I'm saying, you all? When you have gone through something for a long time, when you've gone through trouble for a long time, when you've been in a place where you've been calling out to God for deliverance to heal you, and you said, oh Lord, how long will my finances continue to be in despair, despite the fact, Lord, that I'm doing everything that you've told me? I'm trying to be financially responsible. I'm being faithful and I'm giving back to you. But Lord, I just can't see where my finances are getting better, but it seems like they're getting worse. Oh Lord, how long am I going to have to continue to deal with my health deteriorating? Lord, I'm doing everything that I need to do. I'm putting the appropriate foods in my body. Lord God, I'm praying and I'm asking for healing. Oh Lord, how long is my marriage going to continue to be on the down spiral? Lord, I'm praying for my husband. Lord, I'm praying for my wife. I'm trusting that you are going to work it out. You said in your word that if I delight myself in you, you will give me the desires of my heart. And Lord, I want my family to be saved. I want my marriage to be saved. Oh Lord, how long is the question that many of us at some time or another have shouted out to God as we have been in relationship with God. And typically, as I said, that question comes as we are wrestling with the fact that God is not responding in the manner that we will have him to respond. As I reflect on the ministry of Jesus, you all, I'm being reminded of the characters who had a desperation of how long that echoed and vibrated in their soul. And you can sense it coming out the text as you read their story. I'm thinking about the woman with the issue of blood that we are told about in the Bible, where the Bible said for 12 years, this woman had a medical issue. This woman sought out the best doctors during her day and time in an effort to get better, and she depleted her finances. And the biblical narrative tells us that she didn't get better, but she grew worse. But when she heard that Jesus was in the vicinity, or he was close by, the Bible said that the woman said to herself that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know that I will be made whole. I will be healed of this affliction, because this woman had a desperation in her spirit that said, oh Lord, how long? And her desperation of how long kicked in, and she activated on faith and she touched Jesus. And the Bible declared and decreed that this woman was healed of her affliction. Or what about the man that we read about in John's gospel, in John chapter 5, verses 1-9, when Jesus took a visit to the pool of Bethesda, and the biblical narrative says that there were a great multitude of people who were at this pool and who waited for the moving of the water, because they believed that an angel would come down and trouble or stir up the water, and that whoever stepped in after that occurred would be made whole. The Bible says when Jesus got there, he looked at this man who had an infirmity or a sickness for 38 years. And when Jesus knew how long he had been in the condition that he had been in, Jesus asked this man, do you want to be made well? I want you to listen to the man's response. The man said, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. When you listen to this man's response to Jesus, can you not hear him shouting to the tops of his lung, "Oh Lord, how long?" Because he knew how long he had been in this condition. He knew how long he had tried to make his way to the water. But what he didn't know is that his "Oh Lord, how long" had already showed up on his front doorstep in Jesus to answer his prayer and answer his petition. This is why we must remain faithful and steadfast, because our "Oh Lord, how long" is just right around the corner to God answering our plea and our cry. Or what about the man that we read about in the biblical narrative by the name of blind Bartimaeus? His story is in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 42. And we are told that this man was sitting by the roadside and he was begging, and he heard a commotion, and he heard and found out that it was Jesus who was passing through with a crowd of people. And the man lifted up his voice and shouted to the top of his lungs and said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Can you hear the man shouting, "Oh Lord, how long I've been in this abject state where I have to be reduced to begging and asking other people for something that I can't do for myself because I don't have the ability to see." And then the people tried to silence this man. They tried to keep this man quiet. They tried to quell his voice. But the Bible said the man got louder, in so much that he got Jesus' attention. And Jesus called the man over to him and he said, "Tell me, what do you want? What do you want me to do?" And the man said, "Oh Lord, I want to be able to see." And Jesus granted the man's request. And the scripture says the man's eyes were open and he began to follow Jesus on the road that day. What you saying, Kiwan? Here's what I'm saying, you all. We all get to a point in our walk with the Lord where we cry out and say, "Lord, how long?" How long means, "Lord, how much longer? How much longer do I have to hold on? How much longer do I have to remain faithful in the midst of political and social confusion? Lord, how long do I have to see injustice being perpetuated around me? Lord, how long are we gonna be, come on now, in this coronavirus pandemic? Lord, how long am I gonna be able to keep my job before my employer tells me that they have to lay me off along with other workers because our job can no longer afford to pay us? Lord, how long?" Question that many of us ask as we are wrestling. And in the midst of answering or asking how long, you all, it's a wrestle and it's a tussle of our faith, you all. Please understand, you all. And as I look back, as we get out of 2020, you all, if the Lord don't come back, as we get out of 2020, I believe the year of 2020 is gonna be the year where believers wrestled with their faith. Oh, you better walk with me right now. See, it takes some true faith in God for sure enough right now to be able to remain steadfast and faithful to God, because nobody knows what's going to happen, you all. If truth be told, we plan this by ear day to day. For those of us who have jobs, you done had your job throughout this whole pandemic. You can get an email tomorrow from your job that tells you that your job has been terminated due to there being no more funds available to pay the workers. And that will come to a surprise to you, but that can happen tomorrow, you all. Look at the things that are happening in our culture that we did not think that would happen. I was reading an article just the other day. Of course, as you all know, many of the stores are requiring that if you're going to enter into these stores to seek service, then you're going to have to make sure that you wear a mask. If you go to Home Depot, you better have on a mask. Publix, better have on a mask. Sam's Club, mask. Walmart, mask. CVS, mask. These places are saying, listen, you need to have on a mask. I know here in Georgia, along with some other states, if I'm not mistaken, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, Arkansas, and there's some other states. 18 states, I read in an unpublished study, are considered to be hot zones or red zones when it comes to COVID-19. Again, I know here in Georgia, you have at least 4 to 5 different counties, school boards, who have said that because of this pandemic, they're going to start school back in August, and it's going to be virtual learning. Because their concern is for the children, and they're trying their best to keep this pandemic from spreading either further. What point are you trying to make, Kiwan? I'm trying to say we're living in some difficult and some challenging times, you all. We're living in times right now where you have racial tension that has spilled over and that is at an all-time high, to the point where you better be real careful of what you say and what you do, because you'll be nailed to a cross and crucified. So please be mindful of what you say and what you do. But more specifically and more important, I believe Habakkuk in this book, as we walk throughout this book, God is challenging us and encouraging us that even when you don't know what I'm doing, even when you can't see what I'm doing, even when you think that I stand aloof and I'm not involved of what's going on in the world, I still am God, and I'm moving behind the scenes even when you cannot see it. But what I want you to do with that, oh Lord, how long spirit, I want you to wait just a little bit longer. And while you're waiting, God says, I want you to wait with faith, and I want you to believe. And sometimes God will say, listen, while you're asking me these questions, God says, ask as many questions as you want. See, many of us grew up being taught by a Sunday school teacher or being taught by the preacher, pastor, that we should not question God. You won't find any passage of scripture in the Bible that flat out says don't question God. I believe it's the manner and the spirit in which one poses their questions. Because again, remember, we just talked about and we just read some laments from Psalms. That was a common characteristic of expression for the Hebrew people, is that they would ask God questions. And God never told them to shut up, don't question me. But what God wanted them to do, or at least in Habakkuk's case, to understand, when you ask me a question, because listen, there's no question that's too heavy for God to bench press. See, watch this, you all. In the natural, whenever a person is lifting weights, if you are lifting weights that are heavy, you're told that it is good practice to make sure you have somebody who gives you a spot. That means that person is there to assist in the event that you're not able to get the weight off you. So we need people to spot us. We need people to help us. But watch this. When it comes to God, there's no question that we can ask God whereby he needs somebody there to spot him. God says, I don't need nobody to spot me. Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. If I was hungry, I wouldn't even ask you, because I own the cattle of 1,000 hills. God says, whatever question you have, you can go ahead and bring it on. But God says, when you ask me a question, you better be ready for my answer. And that's what we're going to talk about next week, because Habakkuk, he asked some questions, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about why Habakkuk was so exasperated. What was going on at that time in the southern kingdom of Judah that caused Habakkuk to say that he felt that the law was paralyzing, that the leadership was corrupt and violence was running rampant? What was going on? And we're going to look at the book of Jeremiah to get somewhat of a reconstruction of a historical context of what was going on during the time of Habakkuk. And then we're going to transition and move into God's response to Habakkuk as we continue this walk through the book of Habakkuk. Pray and hope that you were encouraged. Let us go to God in prayer. Oh, gracious and everlasting God, we thank you in the name of Jesus for allowing us, oh Lord God, to be open and honest and transparent to you as we call out, Father God, like the prophet Habakkuk did. Oh Lord, how long? Lord, let us be ready to receive your answer. But more importantly, Lord, let us be ready to remain faithful and steadfast and unmovable during times of uncertainty in our own personal life, in our relationships, on our jobs, and what is going on in our country and what is going on in this world. But we know this one thing, that those who trust in the Lord, they will not be forgotten. those who wait patiently on God will not be forgotten. Lord God, we bless you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.